Welcome to the Sleepy Cues podcast, where Linda Schmulowitz
and Jessica Suwiki will share answers to all your questions related to your children's sleep and parenting of young children. We are both certified gentle sleep coaches.
Thanks for tuning in to hear the answers to the many questions that come up with the families we work with.
Hi, welcome to the Sleepy Cues podcast. My name is Jessica Suwiki of Luli Sleep Consulting. I want to thank all my listeners out there. Thank you for joining me here today. And always remember to leave a rating and review after. Don't forget to send in your questions and your comments, as we always love to hear from our listeners out there. Today I'll be talking about sleep when a sibling comes. So we all know that having a big change in your child's life, like moving, a new nanny, starting school, and when a sibling comes, all can affect your child's sleep. These are very big changes in your child's life that can most often cause a sleep regression. When a sibling comes, most will have a sleep regression within the first couple of weeks, if not the first month. But there are some kids out there that do not have that sleep regression right away when the baby comes home, but will rather have it a few months later. So, for instance, the baby comes home, child number one doesn't even realize that the baby is there and is perfectly fine, sleep goes well. But then right around when the baby turns 5, 6, 7 months old, when the child is more active and alert, then the child will have a sleep regression. So what happens is this baby has come home, and where in the beginning he was just sleeping and not really doing much, now he's becoming more active, sitting up, crawling. Maybe this baby is starting to take toys from the child, seeking and getting more attention from the parents. And so child number one starts realizing, hey, wait, this baby's actually here to stay. He's more active. He's in my space grabbing my toys, and he's getting attention from my parents. So if your child has not gone through a sleep regression once baby number two has come home, that is great. But just kind of look out for it, because it may happen a little bit down the road. So with four kids of my own, we've had siblings come around a few times. I've gone from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. So we've had experience with this. It's funny, because going from one child to two children is always a big change for us parents. And then, of course, 2 to 3 and 3 to 4. But for today's podcast, we're going to focus on how to gain control and not allow for a sleep regression when sibling comes around. So I'll be going over some tips on how to avoid a sleep regression once the baby comes home. One thing I always tell parents is something I heard a long time ago, and it has stuck with me until now. When I was about to have my second child, someone came up to me and said, imagine if your partner comes home with another person and says, okay, now we've gone from a couple of two to a couple of three people. And so I will be sharing my attention with you and with that other person. I will be buying gifts for you and for that other person. And I love you and that other person. Now, some people are okay with this, but most are not. And so if you come from a partnership, from a couple where it's the two of you, and without asking, your partner comes home with someone else, you won't be too happy about it. I know I won't if my husband comes home and says, I have a new wife and the three of us are going to live together. So think of it like that. When you have one child and you come home with child number two, and child number one is probably looking at you and saying, what? I didn't ask for this. I don't want to share you with another child or another human being. And so it's a very big change for the child. And of course, it's a very big change for the family as a whole, as a unit. So if you've gone from a family of three, you, your partner, and your child, to a family of four, two children, and both parents, it's a very big change. Or if it's just you and your child, and now child number two comes around, so now you are a single parent with two kids, that's a very big change as well. So today I'll be going over five things that you can do to help avoid a sleep regression when baby comes home. The first thing I'd like to talk about is an advice that my son's pediatrician gave me. My pediatrician at the time when I was pregnant with number two looked at me and said, I'm going to tell you one thing. Keep everything the same. Don't make any changes. The biggest change is that the sibling is coming. So everything else around your child needs to stay the same. And when you think of it, it makes sense, and it's definitely something very hard to do, but it does make sense. So we all know that our kids thrive on predictability, on routine, on sameness. And so if child one is going to school, has after school activities, has dinner at a certain time, bath at a certain time, you really, really should keep to the schedule and routine that your child is used to. It's very hard because family comes and they want to help and, oh, grandma's here. She wants to take child number one on a special ice cream date. It's okay if she misses soccer. Actually, it's not okay. Because again, the house already feels a change. There's a new baby. There's a baby crying. There's a baby needing mommy and daddy's attention. So child number one really needs to have everything else in her surroundings the same. Her center feels a little bit off. Her parents are now with baby number two. Or her mother has left to the hospital for a couple of days and came home with baby number two. And so the biggest advice I can give you is keep child number one on the same schedule, on the same routine, same classes, going to school, so that not everything is changed, not everything is different. Most importantly with this is keeping to the schedule and the routine of sleep. So if your child is still napping in the middle of the day, don't skip that nap. If your child regularly goes to bed at 7 p.m., put your child down at 7 p.m. Don't keep her up longer just so she can have a later bedtime, because then that, of course, can cause some sleep issues. Advice number two is don't try to do a bunch of changes right before a baby comes. So a lot of parents will call me and say, okay, baby number two is coming. I need to do potty training. I need to move her into bed because I need the crib. And I also kind of want to end co-sleeping and get rid of the pacifier. Whoa. Those are a lot of different layers all at once. So if you know baby number two is coming, do not schedule all these very big changes in child number one, because that can really lead to a huge sleep regression. So for instance, potty training. Potty training is usually done closer to about 3 years or older. Of course, every child is different. If you're going to be doing potty training, you definitely need to do it either a few months prior to baby or a few months after. Same thing with crib to bed. So those are very big changes. So I do not suggest doing any of those changes right before baby comes or right after. So usually I suggest parents to wait a few months, 2-3 months prior to baby coming, or 2-3 months, even 4 months, after the baby has arrived. So look at the schedule, look at when you're due, how old is your child, and what really needs to happen now, and how can we space it out? The last thing you want to do is do a lot of changes a week or a month before baby comes home, especially the co-sleeping. If you have been co-sleeping with child number one, you need to give child number one a lot of time to adjust to sleeping in their own space, in their own environment, before baby number two comes around, because that can definitely lead to a sleep regression. Baby two coming around and sharing a room, and child number one has been kicked out, child number one will definitely have a sleep regression, as he will feel like he got kicked out and moved out of mommy and daddy's bed so that baby number two can take over her space. So please be mindful of the timing of these changes. Take them in strides. There's no rush in moving your child into a bed. Remember, I'm a very big advocate of waiting until your child is 3 or older. I moved both my youngest kids when they were 4 years old. So for instance, my third child, I actually moved on his 4th birthday, moved him into a bed, and gave him a few months in a bed and his crib empty before child number 4 came, so that he could adjust to the bed, he could see that his crib was just sitting there empty, no one was using it, and then baby number 4 came and took his crib. What is also helpful with the crib and bed transition is that newborns can sleep primarily anywhere as long as it's safe, of course. So if you're using a bassinet or a safe co-sleeper or a pack and play, that can save you some time in having the newborn in a pack and play or in a bassinet and having the crib of child number one empty so that child number one also does not see baby number two coming home and going straight into his crib. So think about that. As far as the pacifier and thumb sucking, that is your child's sense of safety, of security. And that I really suggest holding on to until after the baby has been born and a few months later. Your child will want to use the pacifier or suck their thumb when baby number two comes around, especially if baby number two is using a pacifier or sucking their thumb. And so I do suggest waiting until after the baby has come home, baby's a little bit older, child number one has been adjusted to baby number two, and then work on removing the pacifier or work on stopping the thumb sucking. Three is try to spend some extra one-on-one time with your child, whether that's at bedtime or throughout the day. So it's very hard juggling more than one child. I completely understand that, as that I live that every single day. But what I tell parents with a newborn is switch. Have one parent have the newborn, have the other parent do bedtime tonight. Tomorrow we switch. If I had the baby last night, I will have child number one tonight. And so that child number one gets both parents, if there are two parents, involved in the bedtime routine on a nightly basis. And so that child number one does not feel like parent number one is never with him. So if parent number one is always with baby, child number one will say, hey, why isn't parent number one with me? And so it's suggested to have parents switch bedtime routine every other night so that child gets to spend quality time with both parents individually. I do suggest adding more time to the bedtime routine so that the child doesn't feel like the bedtime routine is rushed and so that the child has that one-on-one time. So if you need to add a few extra minutes, 5, 10, 15 minutes to the bedtime routine, you absolutely can. So head over into the room, spend some one-on-one time, play time, block time, book time, and add a couple of more minutes to that bedtime routine so that the child gets that one-on-one and has a little bit more extra time with the parent. And then throughout the day, I do suggest for the parents to spend a couple of minutes with the child individually. So parent number one with child number one, whether that's let me bathe you and that's mommy and child number one in the bath and spending alone time with baby number two not present. So a lot of parents will tell me, yeah, she was just in the sling. The newborn was sleeping in the carrier the whole day. Well, guess what? Child number one sees the baby, right? And so think of spending some one-on-one time with child one without the newborn around. Have the newborn sleeping, have the newborn with the other parent in the other room so that child number one gets that one-on-one time with you every day, and it's just 5 or 10 minutes. Let's close the door and you and I play blocks. Let's go for a 5-minute walk. Let's go run errands together. Whatever that is, if you call it out and tell your child, hey, it's mommy and you time, only the two of us, you spend 5 or 10 minutes doing one activity and baby number two is not there, that will fill the child's bucket of I spent one-on-one time with my parent and baby number two is not there. Because that child will feel jealous, will see that the parents are changing the diaper and feeding and burping and attending to the baby crying. And so he will want that attention as well. Number four would be have your child involved with the baby to help out. So of course it's easier for the older kids who can be more involved as the younger ones. So for instance, when I had my second child, my first one was only 19 months. So of course this was hard for my year and a half year old to help, but it was help like bring me the towel, hold the bottle while I of course held the baby. I would hold the baby and my older son would like lightly burp him. Things like that, pass me the pajama, pass me a diaper. If you get the older child involved, the child will feel special, will not feel neglected, will feel part of the process, and won't feel like, hey, baby number two came around taking all my parents' attention and I'm not even in there and I'm not even involved. So have child number one help you out around the house with the baby. And the other thing is if your child is old enough to understand, then explain things to your child. Hey, baby's coming home now. Baby's a newborn. This is where you can touch the baby. Baby's crying because he's hungry. So explaining to child number one about what's going on with the baby will really help the child understand and, again, be a part of the process. And then lastly, and most importantly, is what do you do if your child is going through a sleep regression? And the biggest advice I can give you, and that's the advice that we always give, is remain consistent. Now, it's very hard for those first couple of weeks, those first couple of nights, to remain any sort of consistency because we are just so overly tired. We are exhausted physically, emotionally, and so it's extremely hard to stay consistent in any way possible. But my biggest suggestion would be, once you've gotten over those first couple of weeks of being exhausted, remain consistent. Try not to create new sleep habits that weren't there before. So if you are not feeding child number one in the middle of the night bottles, if you are not co-sleeping in the middle of the night, try not to do that now. Try not to resort to giving child number one 3 bottles in the middle of the night. Try not to resort to co-sleeping. So if you're able to perhaps sleep on the mattress or on the floor next to your child, or perhaps you can be in the room while your child is falling asleep. So depending on the age and stage of child number one, you will have to address it differently. But the biggest advice is remain consistent. So if you have a child in a bed and now he's regressing and coming in and out, perhaps sit by him, not lay inside the bed, but sit by him, maybe sit by the door and say, I will accompany you until you fall asleep. In the middle of the night, I will accompany you until you fall asleep, but I'm not going to co-sleep and I'm not going to allow you to come into my bed. If child number one is a little bit younger and is in a crib, perhaps you sit by the crib. Perhaps you do a couple of checks or stay in the room. If child number one is young, like 12 months, 18 months, or 19 months, like my first one, do not introduce those bottles because they don't need them if they haven't been having a middle of the night feed. So while the first few weeks, the first few nights are really exhausting, once you've gotten over that hump, try not to make excuses. Try to stay consistent throughout. And as we always say, the Sleep Lady Shuffle is a great way to address your child's wake-ups in the middle of the night in a gentle manner. So it will allow you to respond to your child in the middle of the night. It will allow you to come into the room and be with your child if he's going through a regression, but will help guide you in a consistent manner. So if you've listened to this podcast, you have just had a baby or are about to have a baby. So I strongly suggest remembering these 5 tips on how to handle a sleep regression and how to avoid a sleep regression. Of course, always know that sleep will be a little bit disrupted once baby comes home, and that is completely normal. Remember to stay consistent. So just know that there will be some issues and sleep regressions once baby two comes home, and that is completely normal. Also know that you can get it back on track. So if your child was a great sleeper prior to baby coming home, do not worry. Your child will be an excellent sleeper again. It is completely normal. Thank you so much for listening in today. And don't forget to send in your questions and comments and leave a rating and review.